Hey, welcome to the Stormforce Fitness Show with me, John Latok. Moving to a new format now of 10-minute teaching where I'm going to cram in as much as we can on a particular topic so you can really walk away with value that you can use from the moment we're finished, but we're not going to drag it out for too long. So let's get straight into the first episode, which is talking about what is the best type of cardio for fat loss. I think it's one of the most common questions, but also one of the most confusing. So I want to try and clear it up from my perspective on the topic. Before we get into the mechanics and should we choose A, B, or C, what I want to always stress is that most people don't have enough time to make cardio count as a fat loss tool. And what I mean by that is the average person these days can barely get 3 sessions a week. Even 2 is a struggle for some people. And if you're using what time you have got to exercise to do cardio, then you're going to be sorely disappointed in terms of what fat loss it actually delivers, in particular if you don't have control of your nutrition. Realistically, if you go to the gym, do a cardio session, you might burn 500-600 calories if you're lucky, but it's easy to just walk out, go home and make dinner, eat far too much, and that's it. And like I said, if you're only doing that 2 times a week, it is super easy to eat off any fat loss benefit you're getting from that cardio. Obviously, that's not to say that cardio is bad for you. There's other physiological and health benefits, but in terms of fat loss, you're pretty much wasting your time. So always prioritize weight training. If you're trying to improve your body composition, you've only got 3 sessions a week, prioritize the weight training, prioritize your nutrition, and then sure, if you have extra time, then we can start adding on these cardio sessions. Okay, so like I said, most people just don't have enough time to make it count. I think some people will often say, oh, but look at marathon runners, they're super lean. It's like, yeah, they are, but they're also training for 10, 12, 15 hours a week, if not more. Okay, plus, I think realistically, someone looking to improve their aesthetics doesn't really want to look like a marathon runner. Okay, you want to have a bit of muscular definition, have a bit of shape, but that's kind of another topic. Now, the other thing with cardio is we often simplify it and say it's either steady state or it's intervals. And which one's better? Well, the thing is, it's not just like they're not doing the same thing and this one's better than that one at doing that. Okay, when we talk about intensities, we talk about heart rate zoning, different physiological things, different metabolic processes are going on at each level, at each intensity, okay? And they're all very important. So often zone 1, where you're just starting to move a little bit, but you're not even really starting to breathe properly, very good for recovery. So often we talk about recovery workouts, you know, it might be something like some resisted walking in a swimming pool, something like that, where your heart rate is going to elevate a little bit, but it's not really causing you to get into any sort of metabolically active state as such. You're not really raising your heart rate very high at all. Zone 2 is typically what we think of as like the endurance zone. It's where you started to breathe, you started to work, but it's more at a sort of conversational pace. You can keep it going for 30 minutes, 60 minutes, 90 minutes, even more if you're looking to do that. So that's kind of what we call zone 2. Zone 3, somewhere in the middle, you're starting to breathe a bit harder. You can't really have a casual conversation. And zone 3 and into zone 4, good at starting to raise your VO2 max, like how much you can actually process oxygen in a minute. Top of zone 4, we're starting to look at more sort of lactic acid processing, lactic acid tolerance. You know, when you're just like, oh my God, my legs are killing on the air bike. You know, we're going through a different metabolic process. Again, still sort of pushing up that VO2 max as well. And then we get into zone 5, which is like that real high intensity, where actually, a bit like zone 2, some cellular activity takes place, some cellular changes. And obviously, we're learning to just work at our top limit. Okay, so like I said, it's too simple to say intervals versus steady state. There's different things that we need to look at, different important metabolic processes. Okay, the other thing about zone 4 is also it can increase growth hormone. So depending on what you read, when you're doing sort of say 400 meter sprint around a track, you're getting to that sort of 45 seconds, minute 20, you're getting that lactic acid effect, and often that will stimulate growth hormone, which is never a bad thing if you're trying to sort of build muscle. So more at that sort of real high intensity, that sprint pace can increase growth hormone. So all of that stuff is fairly important. And even when we talk about zone two, having a big aerobic base will actually help when you're doing your weight training, because you can recover quicker. You can shorten time between sets, which means you can do more sets within, say, 45 minutes. So like I keep saying, we can't simply say my choice is better than your choice. We should be doing a bit of everything, which we'll come back to at the end. We also have to think about recovery from sessions, because even if high intensity interval training burnt more calories, if you do it properly, you simply cannot do it every day. Okay, whereas steady state stuff, you can do every day because it doesn't really take any recovery at all. So if we're looking at total calorie burn, then actually, if, like I said, if you can only do two or three a week in terms of the intervals, overall, the total calorie burn is not really going to be any more. And even within a session, if I've got some of our metabolic testing up here, at my top end here, these are my own results, I might be burning 22, 23, 24 actually calories per minute at my highest level. Oh, you should do more of that then. Well, not really, because I can only sustain that for a short amount of time, and then I have to go right back down and recover if I want to do another interval. Okay, so again, if I'm going from 24 calories a minute down to say 12 or 13 in my recovery zone, it's going to end up averaging out somewhere in the middle, about 17, 18, which funnily enough would be kind of middle of zone three, or that more sort of steady state pace. So overall, the average calorie burn per minute, not much different, but one might be replicable every day, one is not. Okay, he's got to bear that in mind. We've got to think about what you will do repeatedly. If you want to do it, you're going to do it more, and therefore it's going to be more effective. But the flip side of that is if you're doing what you enjoy, probably because you're good at it, which also means you've become more efficient at it because you've practiced it and you've trained it. If you've become more efficient, then it's not going to burn as many calories to complete. It's not going to be as hard work. And you know this, like if you're a runner, if I suddenly put you in a kickboxing session, you're blowing out your backside very quickly. Okay, similarly, I might be a tennis player doing short, sharp bursts, but then if I try and run a half marathon, you know, it's very difficult for me and I don't have that type of fitness. So that kind of almost brings us around to the key point that often the best form of cardio for fat loss is the one that you haven't been doing. All right, so like I said, if I'm a boxer and I've got very efficient at boxing, I can do 12 rounds of 3 minutes, whereas other people can only do like two rounds and they're almost dead. Then I might be better switching to doing, say, a circuit in the gym, metabolic circuits, AMRAPs, things like that. Other way, if you've maybe done a lot of circuits, you've got very good at that kind of stuff, then starting to do some bag work, starting to do some hill sprints, that could be the great option for you. If you've done lots of steady state, do more intervals. If you've been doing lots of intervals, maybe have a month of doing steady state work. All right, so good to cycle things, maybe go zone two for a month, intervals for a month, metabolic conditioning for a month, maybe loaded conditioning, so more prowler work, sandbag carries, strongman stuff. Once you start getting good at that and you're like, yeah, I'm getting through the sessions, I'm working hard, but yeah, I feel like I'm used to it now. Let's flip it. Let's do a bit more steady state stuff. Okay, so that's really my answer to what is the best form of cardio for fat loss, the one that you haven't been doing recently. Right, so it's good to program that in. Do what you don't enjoy so much. Do what you find hard. That is what's going to cause a shock factor, a stimulus to your body. It's going to be very costly in terms of your metabolism and calories, which is what we want. But consider your recovery. Consider how many times a week you're doing it, what time availability you have. Again, if you only have, say, two lots of 20 minutes to get some cardio in, I personally would definitely do intervals as a priority. But you also need to consider performance benefits as well. What do I need? You know, it might be health-wise, I need to do more steady state stuff. I've never really done that, so I don't have a particularly strong heart. If you don't have much strength or power, then sprints might be better. If you play a particular sport, then that will have particular needs in itself. Okay, so that is what is the best form of cardio for fat loss in 10 minutes.